that burden on your heart. Though you haven't told the Father, He sees every secret part. Every worry, every care, He knows. Before you even whisper a prayer, before you whisper a prayer, He's already there. Already there. When troubles become too much to bear, He's already there. He's waiting with arms open wide and grace enough to share. For all your tomorrows, He's already there.
He said He'd be a haven when this world is so unsure. So rest in simply knowing that His faithfulness endures.
When this world just isn't fair, He knows. Before you even whisper a prayer, before you whisper a prayer, He's already there. Already there. When troubles become too much to bear, He's already there. He's waiting with arms open wide and grace enough to share. For all your tomorrows, He's already there. When troubles become too much to bear, He's already there. He's waiting with arms open wide and grace enough to share. For all your tomorrows, He's already there. Take it to the Lord in prayer. He's already there.
All right, that's good, ladies. Let's all stand together. We'll read some scripture and then we'll be seated. Luke chapter number 14. Luke chapter number 14. Thank you for being here tonight, being faithful to the Lord, being faithful to His house this evening. Luke chapter 14, and we'll start in verse number 25. Luke 14, verse number 25. Okay, we there? Luke 14, 25. We'll begin. And there went great multitudes with Him, and He turned and said unto them, if any man come to Me and hate not his father and mother, and wife, and children, and brethren, and sisters, yea, and his own life also, he cannot be My disciple. And whosoever doth not bear his cross and come after Me cannot be My disciple. For which of you, intending to build a tower, sitteth not down first and counteth the cost, whether we have sufficient to finish it? He hath sufficient to finish it. Lest happily, after he hath laid the foundation, is not able to finish it, all that behold it begin to mock him, saying, this man began to build and was not able to finish. Or what king, going to make war against another king, sitteth not down first and consulteth whether he be able with 10,000 to meet him that cometh against him with 20,000? Or else, why the other is yet a great way off, he sendeth an ambassage and desireth conditions of peace. So likewise, whosoever be of you that forsaketh not all that he hath, he cannot be My disciple. Salt is good, but if the salt have lost its savor, wherewith shall it be seasoned? It is neither fit for the land, nor yet for the dunghill, but men cast it out. He that hath ears to hear, let him hear. And let's pray. Father, I pray you'd bless our message tonight, bless your truth. I pray you'd speak to our hearts, God. Challenge us tonight. Be with us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. You may be seated. A lot of problems that we face, that we face in our lives, and some people face on a daily basis, are a result of not being very discerning. Discerning is when you look at things and you see them into the future, and so because of that, you make plans accordingly. And a lot of times, we just don't do that. We don't take the time to think ahead and be prepared. Some people have said that is a failing to plan. And you know what they say? A failure to plan, if you fail to plan, then you are planning on failing. That is true. If we don't do that, we are not prepared for what comes our way, and we can become overwhelmed. We've not taken the time to look forward. The same is true spiritually. It's true in life in general, but it's also true spiritually. Many spiritual problems we have are a lack of focus on our part or a lack of planning or discernment or looking ahead. We're just living the moment. We're letting life just kind of take us by whatever whim, and we don't think through what's going on in our life. We can become uncommitted, unprepared for what spiritually is coming our way. It's like the foolish man that the Bible mentions. Jesus mentioned the foolish man who built his house upon the sand, and there wasn't a good foundation there, not realizing that one day there would be a storm that would come. And that lack of planning or preparation and building his house on the proper foundation was going to cost him when the storm came. Not a matter of if a storm was going to come, because storms always come. Now, the other man did plan ahead, but this one man did not. He built his house on the sand, and sure enough, when the storm came, his house fell. That's how we are so often in our lives. The picture, as we look at planning ahead, that the Bible uses is the ant. The ant in the summertime plans ahead and plans out because they know when the fall comes, they will not be able to do the things that they need to do that are necessary for their survival. So they're prudent and they look ahead. And that's what life is. Life is about preparation, spiritually speaking, as well as just regular life. Now, as we look at our text here this evening, Jesus had just left the Pharisee's house, and as what would happen is you would always have a crowd that would follow him. Jesus was not very enamored with crowds. Jesus, when the crowds came, he always spoke the truth to them. He wanted them, if they were following him, to get what he was saying and not just to follow him because he was some kind of trend at that time. And he knew that most of the people that followed him were not very spiritual in nature. They were following him because they heard of the things he did. Or they heard controversial things about him. So they had to go and check him out and see what was really going on. And so he tries to talk to them. In the passage we're reading here, he's given them insight into what it really means for them to follow him. The Bible uses the word for that, disciple. We like to talk about being followers of Jesus, a Christ follower, where Jesus is looking for disciples. We'll say, what's a disciple? We'll get to that in a minute. Truly what it takes to be one. He makes it clear that in this area of disciples, he desires more quality than quantity. You see, if the crowds were going to follow them, he wanted to turn those crowds not just into people that were going from place to place with him, looking for him to say something controversial or to see him do some type of miracle. He wanted them to be transformed into a disciple that really loved him and really followed him. The disciple is the word most commonly used in the Bible to describe the true followers of Christ. And so Jesus always made a distinction between salvation and being a disciple. Salvation is something that is freely offered to us, that all we must do is accept. But discipleship is not like that. Discipleship is costly, and it's something that takes a commitment and something that must be thought through before that decision is made. And so Jesus gets to the crowd and he starts mentioning some things, trying to get them to think, do you really want to be my disciple? Because not anybody that wants to be my disciple can be my disciple. There are some prerequisites that you must follow. It's not a decision to be made lightly. It's one that must be thought through and planned out. Spiritually thinking, I think of over the many years when we would go to youth conferences and we would, and I'm not against them, but some of the teenagers would make an emotional decision at a youth conference. And by the way, a lot of them made serious decisions at youth conference. But when you make a decision, you shouldn't just make it because other people are making a decision. It ought to be something we think through. It ought to be something we're thinking about. We understand the seriousness of the decision. That's what Jesus is talking about when he talks about discipleship. We had to think through. We need to plan ahead. And he talks about counting the cost. He wants them to know, are you really willing? Are you ready? And are you even able to do this? So I want us to see tonight this area of planning ahead. I want to talk to two different connected thoughts. I want to look at the text for a minute, and I want to show you what Jesus said about planning ahead if you really wanted to be a disciple. And then practically speaking for us, particularly as we get into this summer season, I want us to think ahead also. So let's look at the two angles briefly tonight. First of all, I want you to see what Jesus said about counting the cost in the terms of being a disciple. As Jesus talked to crowds, he had a way of thinning them out. You know, you're feeding 5,000. You fed all these people. I'm going to come check them out. And he would get there and he would tell them the truth. And some of them said, well, that's not why we're here. But Jesus wanted to tell them the truth. He wanted to know who was really serious, who was really spiritual. Because salvation is free, but discipleship cost. Now, typically when people look at this passage, they see a couple illustrations he gives. But if you look through the whole passage, I think I see five illustrations that he gives that we need to consider if we're really going to make the decision to be a disciple. One who truly follows the Lord Jesus Christ deeply. First picture he gives is of loving. Look at verse 26 in the scripture again. In Luke chapter 14 there. He says, if any man come to me and hate not his father and mother and wife and children and brethren and sisters, yea, his own life also, he cannot be my disciple. Now we understand from the scriptures, Jesus isn't being contradictory here. He tells us we're not supposed to hate those people. Really, in the tone of what he's saying, he's using it in a comparative way. He's saying, listen, above all other things, your love for me ought to be so great in comparison, it's hate for others. What he's saying is, I need to be the supreme one. I need to be on the top, not anybody else. Jesus says, do you love me more than anybody else? We talked a little bit about loving Jesus this morning. But think of yourself as you thought of that question. Can you truly say that you love Jesus Christ more than anybody on this earth or more than anything on this earth? Not with your lips. We discussed that all this morning. Not just something you would say. But does your life really say that, although, there's nothing bad here. Mother and father, you ought to love them. Wife, okay, you ought to love her. And brethren and sister, all you ought to love all. But how's your love in comparison to Jesus Christ? Is he the ultimate and supreme person in your life? Problem is, so many of us are trapped by peer pressure. We allow others to influence us. We say we love Jesus more than anybody else, but we go around some person that's influencing us and we'll choose their friendship over what is right in loving Jesus Christ. We'll choose keeping the peace with people over doing the right thing and just loving Jesus Christ at all cost. Maybe you go to work, and at your work, they don't even know you're a Christian. Why? You're afraid to let them know you're a Christian because then it might mean that you have to do something or you have to act a certain way. Do you really love Jesus Christ more than anybody else? See, Jesus didn't want to, hey, look, I got 10,000 people that say they love me. No, he wanted people that said they loved him with their life. He wasn't looking for that. But then he takes it a step farther. He also says, you can't love your own life. You've got to love him more than you love yourself. You say, well, that's an easy one. I don't love myself. Really? Let me just ask you this. How much time did you spend in front of the mirror this morning? Yeah. Listen, and for some of you, that's painful to do that. But we do love ourselves. We can't get around it. Now, maybe we don't do the crazy things, but we live our life our own way, and we chase things we think will make us happy, even if it's things the Lord says won't make us happy. Why? We're choosing ourselves over him. And so we cannot even love ourselves over him. Our generation has been very able, the newest generation has now been named the me generation. Now, let me just tell you this. I think every generation's been the me generation. But it's just a lot easier today. And because of the newer things that we have in our society in living in the 2000s, there's just a lot more things to prove we love ourselves. You get on some person, they have their Instagram account, 95% of the pictures are themselves. Selfies. Can I tell you something? I hate to say this. Can I say it? We don't want to see you. You know, every picture is about you. Hey, look it. Me and me here, me there, me. You know, it's like you go to some beautiful place. Hey, it's me on the Oregon coast. Well, show me the Oregon coast. I don't want to see a picture of you next to like a tree. Show me the ocean because the ocean's beautiful. I'm not saying that you're not. I'm just saying. That's just, and by the way, I'm not getting on people too much about that because they don't understand. But that's just natural now in our society in which we live. Natural. I mentioned, I think last summer there was a girl, she went to the German concentration camp, the Auschwitz camp, the main one where hundreds of thousands of people were killed. And it's I've not been there, but from what I've read from others, it's a very sobering place when you go there. You see how the people were brutally murdered. And she goes to this place, and you know what she did? After going through there and seeing all the tragedies, she took a nice smiling selfie of herself. Now, I don't think she's a bad lady, whoever she was. I just don't think she got it. She was crucified in the social media for that. She just wasn't thinking. Okay? But our whole generation has become about us. And Jesus says, you know, let's not love ourselves more than we love him. Well, see, if I follow Jesus here, that means this might happen in my life. You know what you're saying? I'm choosing love for myself over love for Jesus Christ. Well, this might affect me here. Think of some of you that maybe God calls you to do something. And God doesn't call everybody, I understand that. But there are some people God has specifically called them to do something, and they don't want to do it because they think that wouldn't bring joy in their life. They'd rather do their own thing. In that essence, you know what you're saying? I love myself more than I love Jesus. People that decide to live their own, I'm going to not follow God's prayer, I'm going to do my own thing. What you're saying is, I love myself more than I love Jesus. And by the way, it's a battle we all have to face, every single one of us. Even people whose life might say, I love Jesus, every now and then we step out of bounds somewhere and we do something that's more geared towards ourselves. So Jesus gives the picture, if you're going to love me, you better love me more than any other person in this world. He also says we're to love him. If we're going to count the cost, we need to count the cost in identification. Look at verse 27. He says, and whosoever doth not bear his cross and come after me cannot be my disciple. What is bearing the cross? I think bearing the cross is taking that identification of Jesus Christ. Daily saying, I am with Jesus, and all the suffering and the shame and the selflessness that's going to take. It was a very shameful thing for someone to be crucified. In fact, the Bible said, cursed is anyone that would hang on a tree. And the Bible wrote that even before crucifixion was a form of capital punishment. Because the Bible knew what was coming. The New Testament tells us that Jesus became a curse for us by hanging on that tree and paying for our sin. So we're choosing to identify with him. We're not afraid to be committed to him in that way. We're not worried about what the stigma would be because we are Christians. And by the way, there is a stigma in our country now if you are called a Christian. Didn't used to be that way. It used to be if people didn't even, there was always a few that didn't like it, but for the most part, society was okay with Christians. By the way, it used to be cities wanted churches in their town because it helped them. They don't want them in their town now. Oh, they may not come out and say we don't want a church, but try to build like we do or go to something else. They throw all these stipulations at you. It's not like it used to be. We're not persecuted, but it may come a day that we may have to. You see, many people, I'll get saved and I'll do this. But when it comes to really identifying with Jesus Christ, are we willing to do it? I would say many don't. We better plan on that. He also mentions a third area where we need to plan, in building. Look at verse 28. He said, which of you, intending to build a tower, sitteth not down first and counteth the cost, whether he have sufficient to finish it? Lest happily, after he hath laid the foundation, he is not able to finish it. All that behold him began to mock, saying, this man began to build and was not able to finish. It's a construction project, and he's picturing a man who started with zeal, and he just had enough to get the foundation done, and he really didn't think through everything that had to happen. And people are watching him, and they say, hey, this guy started, but he could not finish. That's the point. They're mocking him for getting started, but not being able to finish. He didn't count the cost. When it got a little too heavy, he had to stop. Isn't that how a lot of Christians are? Get Jesus, they get the shirt, they get the bumper sticker, they get the woo-hoo-hoo. Stuff gets a little sticky, you know what they do? They back away. You ever hear, I've heard someone years ago call it used to Christians. By the way, you ever met a used to Christian? I used to go to church. I used to do this. I used to do that. We had a fellow that came to our missions conference probably about 15, or actually more than that, probably about, this was probably getting almost 20 years ago. And he came and one night at the service, a man came. It was his father, and we knew the guy. He had a local business in the area. I didn't know that his son was the missionary. And I remember he had some type of business, and so he came on a weekday. He was doing something for us, and I caught him in the parking lot. We're just talking, and this guy used to be, he didn't even go to church, but this guy used to be an on fire for God Christian. He was telling me back in the 70s, which was like the heyday of the Baptist movement, and he knew all these people, and he was involved in helping start some churches and helping to start, and man, it was exciting all the stuff he's talking about. And as he's telling me about all that he did back in the 70s and the early 80s, I'm thinking, you don't even go to church anymore. He gave up on God. That's a sad thing. Sometimes it happens because the pressure gets a little bit too much. We're not thinking through. We think, by the way, let me say this. We do new Christians a disservice when we tell them, if you trust Christ, you'll never have a problem again. What if they're married? Just kidding. Well, problems come, right? It's not that we will not have problems as Christians, because everybody has problems. It's just that when we have Jesus, it's a lot easier to get through those problems. And they get saved thinking everybody's going to love them. Everything's going to be fine. They go home and they have family members like, what are you, a Jesus freak? What's wrong with you? And people, and it's like they find out it's not what they thought. And if they're not careful, they allow that to push them away from going forward for the Lord. Let's not be used to Christians. By the way, I know this. If I'm going forward for God, I'm going to be all right. But whenever I start letting up on what I'm doing, that's when I start to have problems. See, we talk about forward to flourish. There's people that used to do forward to flourish, and that was their first step down. They stopped doing it. Now, it probably also stopped with the first step. They used to read their Bible, and they stopped doing that. It always starts when we start to backtrack. Listen, we need all the help we can get. Let's count the cost, and let's go forward. Here's what we all ought to be able to say when we get to the end of our life, like Paul said. I have fought a good fight. I have finished my course. I have kept the faith. Paul said nothing about being perfect. Paul said nothing about everything going wonderfully. But you know what he said? I fought a good fight. It was a struggle, but I was in there. I finished my course. God gave me a course, and I stayed on that course, and I finished. And he says, I've kept the faith. Wouldn't that be a good testimony to have? If we don't plan or think ahead about what it takes to do that, we may not get to the finish line in the first place. And then he gives us the illustration of fighting. Look at verse 31. Or what king, going to make war against another king, sitteth not down first and consulteth whether he be able with 10,000 to meet him that cometh against him with 20,000. Or else why the other is a great way off, he sendeth an ambassage, he desireth conditions of peace. Now this king's planning for war, but he doesn't have what it takes to win the battle, or he better figure out if he is going to get in a war, do you have enough to win the battle? Okay, by the way, if you don't, that might be a time to find a better strategy, right? And he's saying, that's what he's saying, sit down and figure it out. We're in a spiritual war, and if you can't get it, you better find another way. By the way, we are all in a spiritual war. Now, I thank God that in our war, we personally don't have what it takes to win the battle, but the Lord does have what it takes for us to win the battle. Many people don't like to stand anymore. See, oh, what's all this, you know, this is going here, and I'm standing up for work, and I tell people what I believe, and they say they're Christians, and they get on me for what I believe. That's where we are with Christianity nowadays. Doesn't mean we need to be rude to people, but we need to understand what we believe, and we need to stay straightforward with what we believe, and we need to stand. We're in a spiritual battle, and it's bad today in the times in which we live, and I'm not harping on that, but I'll tell you, that just tells us we better be ready for what's going on. And we better be ready to stand up. See, what happens is if we're not willing to stand up, if we're not willing to look ahead and be willing to fight for what's right, and we do have the resources to win, what happens is we start to back off. And when we start to back off, if we have half of a conscience, we don't want to, you know, give up on the Lord. So what we do is we just kind of water down what we have. Now we want to be liked. Jesus said the world really is going to hate you. Now, for a long, long time in our country, that wasn't really as true, because not as, it's always true, but you know what I'm saying? Our country was kind of on board with Christianity. It's changing a little bit, but that's okay. If we get up and say what we believe and say, well, what's wrong with you? You're kind of crazy. That's okay. That doesn't mean we back off of what we believe. We're kind and we're loving, but we still believe it. Christianity was never designed to be cool, was never designed to be hip, okay? And that's what we want. We want the in thing. We want to have Jesus in this pocket right here, and we want to have all the nonsense of the world in this pocket right here. And so because of that, the church has kind of changed. I read stuff all the time. I just read the story. There's this Hillsong. It's a pretty big, it's not a denomination, but it's a group of churches. They just had a ladies' conference in New York City. And at the end of the conference, they ended the conference with a guy, I was going to say dressed as a cowboy, but he didn't have clothes on, hiding behind a guitar. Undressed. He had skimpy little underwear on. This is a Christian ladies' conference. Where are we going? Oh, hey, we're radical. You know, if you want to be radical for Jesus, that doesn't mean you do silly things that are against the Bible radically. What you do is you just do what the Bible says. That's pretty radical right there. You say, I want to be a, we have rebel Christians, but they want to be a rebel Christian by following what the unsaved people do. You really want to be a rebel Christian? You don't need to be a rebel Christian. Just follow what the Bible says. You'll be different enough. And by the way, someone might get reached. Someone might say, you know, what's in my life isn't right, but there's something in your life going on. We just need to figure it through. It's a bit of a fight. And then he talks about persevering. Look at verse 33. It says, so likewise, whosoever be of you that forsaketh not all that he hath, he cannot be my disciple. He says, you got to give up everything. And then he's given an illustration of someone that would do that and not stick it out. He said, salt is good. Now, we understand salt preserves, right? And there's pictures of that in the Bible, but that's not the picture he's given here. Salt is good, but if the salt has lost its savor, its taste, wherewith shall it be seasoned? It is neither fit for the land nor yet for the dunghill, but men cast it out. He says you have salt, and in some area, salt is used to enhance flavor. Okay, just, you know, now don't put too much on there. It's not healthy. And you see salt, that's better. But salt adds flavor. And he says, listen, salt is there for seasoning, but if salt loses its flavor, it's no good. Why would you put it on there? It's worthless. I think the picture he's putting there, here's a Christian that gets started, and then all of a sudden they're going to back off. They didn't count the cost, so they didn't persevere. You know, I don't care how on fire a person is for God 1 or 2 or 3 months, a year after they're saved. I want to see how on fire for God they are 5 years after they're a Christian. I've met so many people, they get saved and they're excited about God, and I'm excited for them, and then, you know, 6 months, 7 months later, it's like, hey, have you seen so-and-so? What happened to so-and-so? That excitement is gone. They didn't count the cost, and they didn't say, you know, I'm going to stick this thing out. So if we're going to be a true disciple of Jesus Christ, we need to stick it out. Now, switching gears just a bit, I also want us to understand this. I want us to chart our course personally. Personally. Many people, they come into a Christian life, they're excited about the Lord, maybe they've been serving him for a little bit. They don't plan on doing the last one, like we said, not persevering. But if they're not careful and they don't think ahead, they allow things into their life that can keep them from persevering. We're very fickle. By the time, wait, there are times in our life and there are times in things that come up that maybe don't cause you to go wayward, but we call them slippery places. They're a place when, because things have changed, if you're not careful, you can get a little bit off spiritually speaking. You desire to be spiritual, but you don't follow through with it. Now, every summer we kind of talk about this a little bit because summer's a place that can be like that if you're not careful. Because, see, things change in the summer. Your schedule changes. The children's schedule changes. And by the way, it's like, well, what's the big deal? Well, I still work. I know, but when children's schedule change, your schedule changes. Okay, that affects everybody in the house. And so we need to be very careful. We do different things in the summer. And that's okay. You should. But if you're not careful and you don't think ahead, you can put yourself into a very, very difficult situation. So as we look at the summer, let me give you two quick admonishments here and we're done. Don't let... Chart your course this summer. Don't let the changed schedule at home in life throw you off. That can happen. See, we're you know, you ever hear people, you know, people don't like change, right? I don't like change. You know, we don't. We like everything to be the, now some people thrive on that stuff. There's just something about their mind that works differently. But most people, we want stuff pretty much laid out for us, right? I mean, we want to know this is here, and this is here, and this is here, and everything's good. Let's not, it's good for us. And whenever something changes, we can get kind of out of whack. That's why most of us during vacation, we're no longer Christians for 2 weeks. Okay, everything's different. You're eating horribly. You're on the road. If you drive like our family does, long distances, it is very easy just to say, you know, put the Bible away. We're not Christians. Put your horns on. This is going to be a rough trip, all right? You say, man, I'd like to drive in the car with your family. No, you wouldn't. It's like it's not good sometimes. The schedule throws us off. And what happens is it causes us to become unfaithful to some of the things that we're supposed to be faithful to. And that in turn kind of can get us off course. And we're not thinking ahead and we're not planning ahead and it can mess us up. Don't let that happen in your life. Have a plan. Know what you're doing. That's why we encourage people to say, why do you do this for to flourish during the summer? That's the time we need for to flourish. And people will go on vacation and they'll be on vacation for 2 weeks, but they won't even go to church. Okay? That's part of it. Stay on schedule, stay on course, do the things you are supposed to do. And then, how will that help us? Next, be involved with the church and the opportunities it provides. That's why during the summer, we do some different things. We're trying to cause us to, like, let's stay on schedule. Let's think this thing through. Let's not get all crazy because schedule's different. Now, here's, look, some people I know, you know, and I could look at all the attendance records. When school starts up, the church attendance kicks up. Why? Because people get a little out of kilter during the summer. You say, well, I'll be all right with that. No, you don't know. Your heart can grow cold. We have a tendency for our hearts to grow cold if we're not careful, right? And once your heart grows cold, you cannot just assume you're going to come back and everything's going to be fine. By the way, Jesus deserves us to stay right on top side with him. And that's why we say, hey, let's not have a summer slump in our life. Let's have a summer jump in our life. We do all kinds of things, and I encourage you to be involved. I'm just looking at the schedule and all the things we have on. You know, we're going to do Father's Day this year. We've not really honored the fathers. Usually we the mothers come on Mother Day. We talk about how wonderful they are. We showed a beautiful video of, you know, the greatest job in the world. You know, if we show a Father's Day video, it's like, here's a guy that's not paying his child support, okay? You know, it just seems like we hug the mothers and we slap the fathers upside the head and wonder why they don't want to come on Father's Day. Listen, on Father's Day, we have flowers for you. No, we don't. We don't have flowers. But we do have a little gift for you, okay? Fathers are important. Thank you, Brother Bichardo. I guess no one else believes that. Mothers, you're great, but fathers are great too. We have our summer kickoff. It's kind of that the 26th when everything's going to get going. I enjoy the summer. We have the fellowships at our house. I enjoy that. Now, I thought, man, we did that last summer, and it's like every Friday we have someone at our house. That's going to be a big hassle. And, you know, and I didn't tell you that, but I thought, well, we'll do it. And, man, our family, we actually enjoyed it. You say, what was the best part? When everybody went home. That was our favorite part. Just kidding. We enjoyed it. Summer saturation. By the way, there are so many. We've had so many good times out on summer saturation. Soul winning. I went one time with I was out soul winning, and the guy I was with was a cop. And we walked up, and I think these guys were just finishing up smoking some pot. Oh, actually, I didn't grow up in church, so I know for sure they were. So I walked up to him, and the guy looked at me and goes, hey, who are you? Are you a cop? And I'm like, nope, I'm not a cop. Now, I should have said, this guy right here, he's a cop, all right? And we witnessed to him. I was going with one guy. I don't know what he's doing. We went to this house. It was a two-story house, and it was his turn to knock on the door. It was a big house. He thought for some reason it was an apartment. So he just opened the front door and walked in. Now, I was a silent partner, so I followed him. We walked right in, and we're standing in the living room. And he looks around, and I'm like, I don't think we're supposed to be here. He's like, oh. I'm like, man, what were you thinking? Oh, yeah, I wasn't thinking anything. By the way, he was a cop, too. We could have talked our way out of that one. But listen, summer saturate, going out and just sharing the good news, and people are more open in the summertime. I encourage you to be with us. We have the family nights, which is great. We're going to be talking about the family this year, as we do every year. Four to flourish. Everything we have going on, listen, let's have a good summer. By the way, do the family things. Have family nights and do all the weird stuff and go on vacation, but let's stay spiritual. Jesus always said, listen, you're not going to make it if you don't plan ahead. Now, he was talking about something a little more serious, being a disciple. But listen, even spiritually speaking, any time of year, if we're not careful, many people who have fallen away from God, it's not that they planned on going away from God. They just failed to plan correctly. And they let their schedule get off. And so let's not do that. Let's be faithful to the Lord at all times. Let's stand together this evening.